Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about a half hour, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. A great week to have him on since he, of course, played offensive line in the NFL.
And boy, have a game as bad as Kingsley?
Well, we'll ask him that. And I definitely want to get his perspective on it, because how do you adjust if you are someone like Kingsley throughout your career, when you have this kind of start to your career? Maybe Ross has a story related to that. And also, Donovan Smith sitting on the street right now. How difficult would it be if all of a sudden he were to join the team in a couple of weeks and eventually have to start a game? So those are the kind of things we want to get his perspective on. Plus, we'll just talk NFL as a whole and this huge game on Sunday afternoon. Chiefs, Bills, right here on 96.5 The Fan. You guys can always interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
Is anyone going to make it into work today? It seemed like there was an accident on every single major highway.
You know how this is, like, whether it's, if it's the first snowstorm-ish, I use air quotes, the first time we've had, like, rain during rush hour in a little while, you know, at times people forget, you know, how to drive in said condition.
So, accidents happen. All the normal stuff happens. I make one request for you on this day. Not to sound like the old man in the... Like, I make one request for your driving in this weather. I was driving in this morning. There were no accidents yet. We were just in the normal slowdown that exists in poor weather. There was a guy in the left lane going 49 miles an hour.
On the highway?
Yes. All I'm telling you, you can go as slow as you want, okay? Look, I get
it. Get out of the left
lane. You're trying to get your ass out of the left lane. Move over. Get to the middle. Get to the right. Get anywhere but this left lane. You're holding this whole process up. I get it. You're like, it's a little rainy. My tires are a little old. Just go get a new car. But like at Volkswagen Lee Summit. But like, do yourself a favor and just get out of the left lane. That's all I'm asking. Everything else, you want to drive a little safer, you can drive 10 miles an hour into the speed limit because you're worried about the rain? Fine. You'll slow down a little bit? Cool. You want to be a little more careful when you make? Fine. Get out of the left lane. That's all I'm saying. Just get your ass out of the left lane. Then we could all get to work a little faster. Yeah. I felt bad. Drew was here like, I mean, he got here like way later than normal.
He comes in a different direction, man. There's some, you know, traffic, highway traffic, accidents, all that kind of stuff happens sometimes. So hope everybody's being safe out there. Just some rain, just some steady rain in the Kansas City area this morning. Let's talk about the Chiefs, though, because we know on Sunday they're going to take on Buffalo. The Chiefs are underdogs, still a rare underdog spot, but it's usually a good spot for Kansas City. And I think this Sunday's game not only swings the number one seed conversation, but how do you view just the rest of the season? That would be the regular season going, because everybody had their preseason expectation record wise. Everybody does the same exercise as a fan, wherever you're at,
yeah,
in every market,
every bar you're sitting at, whatever.
Yeah, how many wins? You saw the schedule. They went in 12 games. They went in 14 games. Where are you at? So we all had our preseason, and I'm curious and ask you guys on the text line too, where are you now based on what you were preseason? Because I think especially if you believe the Chiefs are not losing on Sunday and they get to 10-0, then how are you not increasing your preseason win total by one or two? For example, I thought they were going to go 14-3 preseason. That's obviously very much in play. I don't know how I don't bump that to at least 15-2 if they beat Buffalo, right? Like, because I had, out of the three losses, 14-3. I had them losing to Buffalo, and I had them losing to Atlanta, by the way, and I think Pittsburgh. I think those were the three losses preseason back in August. So now they've made it past Atlanta without a loss. They're playing Buffalo on Sunday. If they don't lose this one on Sunday, then how do I not bump my win total like 15-2 or 16-1.
I think the absolute basement left in this season for the Chiefs, before I even know whether or not they win this game on Sunday, which is a game they certainly can lose. We know that. Bare minimum, 13 wins, which was my original projection. But like, that's now the low water mark. That's like, things went kind of poor for the rest of the season for them to get there. Just to finish that way, reminder, they've played 9 games. They have 8 more remaining, which means to finish 13-4, I have to assume this team is going to finish 4-4 the rest of the season on a schedule that currently ranks like 15th based on opponent's win percentage. I don't think so.
Right now, if you go look ahead lines, if you just base it off of betting trends too, so we know the Chiefs are 1.5 or 2.5 point underdogs on Sunday, depending on the book and when you got the number. Against Carolina in a week from now, the look ahead line is already 11.5 in favor of the Chiefs, and they play the Raiders. They're already looking ahead, 11-point favorites. They play the Chargers in week 14, 3.5 point favorites as of now. Week 15, some of the look ahead lines at Cleveland, -6.5. Houston, the Chiefs would be 3.5 point favorites at Pittsburgh Christmas Day, -1.5. And then the last week of the season, we don't know if that game's going to matter, but the Chiefs would be 3.5 point favorites if everybody was starting. So this is the last game. It maybe the Pittsburgh game changed. The last game they will be any even closer than a field goal, less than a field goal favorite in these games. Everybody else is more than a field goal. So if they get through this one Sunday, how are you not putting it up to 15 wins?
If you made me guess right now what their finished record is, I'll still say 14-3, which is better than my original season prediction. The problem is, if they lose this game, it's not like I think they're getting to 12-5. And if they win this game, I'm absolutely gonna be at 15-2. Because they'll only have 7 games remaining then, and all I'm asking them to do is go 5-2 in those remaining.
And one of those, 2 of them are against Carolina and Cleveland.
So those are wins. So now I'm
actually
asking 3 to go.
Carolina, Raiders, and Cleveland. I'm sorry. So 3 of them are against the Panthers, the Raiders, and the Browns.
Okay. So really, realistically, you're telling me if I already chalked those up to wins, I'm counting them going like 500?
Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Broncos.
Okay. I mean, that's 500. Even if I'm just like a downer. And I say 500. Just as a reminder, Texans are not playing good football. Steelers are, but the Texans are not playing good football. So like a lot of this, and the Broncos...
Yeah, we'll see where they are in a month and a half. You know,
and the Broncos almost got the Chiefs in Kansas City, so certainly have to view that game different, but they also might be just throwing that one away. So if they finish 14-3, it'll be because they just gave that one away and were already the one seed. The revised record at the moment is, and this is incredible because last year they dealt with a lot of the same problems we're having this year, right? Wide receiver problems this year for injury, last year for talent. But they're having problems. They're having to reinvent themselves again. But they spent all 17 games last year trying to figure out how to be small ball offense. This year, when they were forced into it, they're like, oh, okay, old hat. Done that. That's why they're not a great offense or an elite offense, but they're a better offense than they were last year. Points per game, ranking in points per game, the ability to move the football, all of those things. The reason why they're better is because they found out how to do that. Even though I would say at this stage, based on what I thought Rashee Rice was going to be this year, DeAndre Hopkins is probably a slight downgrade to maximum Rashee Rice would have been this season. Hasn't stopped him. It just hasn't stopped him, and it's not going to stop him this year. I'm curious, 913-586-7965. I guess just tell us what your new guess for the record will be.
Extend this conversation out for a second, though, because we're talking about the Chiefs, obviously, and what their record could be. And then you can look at the number one seed conversation where it's the Chiefs and the Bills as far as we're concerned. But record-wise, Pittsburgh, of course, is there, even if we don't believe as much in them. And we'll talk about the Steelers and where our belief is on them as a football team this year a little bit later on in the show. In fact, later on this hour. But same thing can be said. I mean, if you look at what is their win total or Buffalo's win total or Houston's win total look like, and are you upgrading or downgrading where you were at? I mean, a team like Houston, for example, they're at Dallas, then they have Tennessee, Jacksonville. Their next 3 games are very, I know they're very winnable games, right?
Yeah.
So Houston could go 3-0 over their next 3. Then they end the season because they have a late bye, week 14 bye. Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, whoa. That'd be nice.
They finish the season against the Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, Titans. So there
That's
are plenty
bad schedule either.
I think there's plenty of wins on the table, you would hope, if you're a Texans fan. I don't know what you were preseason. I thought they were an AFC title representative, right? I didn't think they were going to Super Bowl. I thought they were going to the AFC title game. They haven't looked like that. Will Anderson come back? Will Nico Collins actually be back this week? It looks like finally on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys, he will.
Looks that way,
but the same, we didn't play the same game with any of these other Buffalo. I mean, they in their season, their final four are Detroit, Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Oh no. The Patriots twice?
Must be nice.
That's how they end it. But that's after a stretch of Kansas City, San Francisco, Rams, and Detroit.
I think the most difficult schedule remaining, just based on not like win percentage, I haven't looked that up for other teams here yet. But it's gotta be the Steelers. Like they play a murderer's row.
Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincy, Cleveland, Philly, Baltimore, KC, Cincy.
That's tough. Especially because we know division games kind of operate a little bit differently. According to win percentage, Pittsburgh has the 7th hardest remaining strength of schedule. Kansas City has the 14th highest remaining strength of schedule. Denver, 20th. Like some of the teams, Houston, 26th. Indianapolis, a team that people still think could make the postseason, 31st. They only have 2 winning teams left on their record. Those are Detroit, who's not playing quite as well as Detroit had been. They're still winning. And Denver, a team that you don't know a ton about. And so, like, there's...
Pittsburgh would be 1, 2, 3, 4 of their games, 5 of their games, they would be underdogs and look-ahead lines, believe it or not, the remaining games. That's kind of crazy for a team
Kansas City, Philly, Baltimore twice, probably.
Yeah, Baltimore, they're underdog already. They'd be an underdog right now in the look-ahead line against Cincy in Week 13. We'll see if that holds.
It's a road game, right?
It is a road game. At Philly right now, they'd be 3.5-point dogs, and then they play at Baltimore. They'd be 6.5-point dogs, and they play at Kansas City. Not at Kansas City, home against Kansas City, and they'd be 1.5-point dogs. Those are look-ahead lines way down the road. They'll change, but just gives you an idea of how tough their schedule is the rest of the way.
Regarding the Chiefs, I'm going to be that guy that goes a little bit different than you. I'm going to say 13-4 rather than 14-3.
Okay.
I think it's the
worst
record. So
you still think they're going to finish 500 the rest of the way?
So the reason why I say that isn't necessarily because I think it's going to happen. We're talking worst-case scenario is they have the close games where... You know what? They don't get the blocked field goal. Or, you know, some of the games that have been tighter... Maybe they have those and they're not on the better end of them. They're on the worst end of them. Again, that's worst case scenario. Do I think they're going 13-4? No. But I would
say, where are the 4 losses? I would love to. Where are the 4 losses?
It would be Buffalo.
It'd be a Steelers road game. I think the one game that Broncos. If you look at the schedule that you say they have no business losing, but who knows? The Browns, because the defense is so good. And then maybe the Broncos again because they play them tight or what have you. Or maybe the Chargers show up and they find a way to win a close one. But that, again, is worst case. I don't think there's any way they lose 5.
By the way,
it's not happening.
We are remembering Cleveland's defense for...
Not the same defense this year.
Who they were last year. Cleveland's defense currently ranks 21st in points allowed per game. They're like middle of the pack in sacks per game. That's not a good defense. Miles Garrett's great, but that team's quit. And I don't blame them for quitting. They definitely should. They should just throw it in.
They definitely should, he says.
That one's over. The second they started Deshaun Watson again, they should quit.
What's crazy about Miles Garrett is last week or a week and a half ago, because I guess they were on a bye, he had 3 sacks against the Chargers. Prior to that, he had 3 straight games with none. So his season sack total is 7, which nothing to complain about. But what's crazy, he had 3 of them in his last game. Otherwise, he was only having a 4-sack season through the first 7 games of the year.
And I feel
for
like
him, that's down.
Also, with Jameis Winston, when they play the Chiefs, Jameis might have no touchdowns and 4 picks against the Chiefs, or he's going to have 4 touchdowns, no picks, and he throws for 350 yards for some reason, and it makes no sense.
Texline wants me to do something that I refuse to do. I told you, until they're back to 500. They want me to have Drew predict, since he predicted Chiefs losses, let's hear his predictions on Bengals losses. Nope, we're not doing that. I mean, you're more than welcome to do that if you would like. I told you I'm not talking about a team that's 2 games below 500 until they're above 500.
Request. Yep. I will not say anything about them.
But they may never get above 500.
Well, we'll see what happens.
That is a possibility.
Let's talk about Sunday quarterbacks, though, because I think these are clearly the top 2 quarterbacks. I understand Lamar Jackson is playing better than any other player maybe in football right now.
I believe so.
But if we're still talking, like, who would you rather have as your quarterback and right now, and I would rather have Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes still as my quarterback. And that's just based off of what I think we have seen in some moments of their careers. One quarterback, of course, has been able to have head-to-head success in the regular season. That would be Josh Allen. The Bills, 3-1 the last couple regular season, 2-1 the last couple regular season games. We know Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs has not lost to Josh Allen. We're all well aware of that. I just look at Josh Allen this year. What's funny is the conversation is all about turnovers, because the reason why Josh Allen is having such a great year is he is not making the dumb red zone decisions to this point. We'll see if that comes back up hopefully Sunday, by the way, for the Chiefs'
sake. Sure.
But remember last year, so much of the narrative around Mahomes was like, yeah, he's getting away with not throwing picks. Like the turnover-worthy play grade from Pro Football Focus, and it annoyed a lot of Chiefs fans because they're like, hey, he's not throwing the picks, so what are we doing? This year, we know Patrick Mahomes has 9 turnovers. Josh Allen only has 4. Great numbers. What's funny, it's reverse. From the very conversation we had a year ago, Josh Allen has 13 turnover-worthy plays. Patrick Mahomes has 8. Now, I'm not saying Josh either have the turnovers or you don't, but you notice nobody's talking about that for Josh Allen. When last year, Patrick Mahomes didn't have the turnovers, but they're like, well, he should have a bunch more. Well, you know who should have a bunch more? Josh Allen should have a bunch more this year.
He should, but also that stat is
I only bring it up because of last year's narrative.
Look, I understand. I think every quarterback, if I had to go back through and watch the tape, this is like the people who nitpick the 4 missed penalties against the Chiefs in the last game or whatever. Every team doesn't have penalties called against them. Do we have to go screenshot by screenshot for every team because you think the league is rigged? Yes, Josh Allen probably could have thrown a few more interceptions this year. Patrick Mahomes also probably could have thrown a few more interceptions this year. He also probably could have had a few less interceptions based on some balls that were like tipped at the line of scrimmage. They weren't a bad throw. He didn't make a terrible decision. He just got kind of unlucky, which happens occasionally in the league. I don't view that any different. The way I still view them as the 2 best quarterbacks in the NFL. This is not meant to be a shot to Lamar Jackson, who I think is the 3rd best quarterback in the NFL during that time. Lamar's got more hardware. It's kind of inarguable. He's got the 2 MVPs. Obviously, Josh Allen doesn't have any. Josh Allen has 1 conference title game appearance. Lamar Jackson has 1 conference title game appearance. Neither of them has some massive amount of success. We sometimes talk about Josh Allen as doing a better job getting Mahomes. Mahomes still has the overall record, 4-3. What has stood out about these two, and maybe this is why I feel this way about Josh Allen, is I just get to see him more. Do you know that this is only the 2nd time in NFL history that 2 quarterbacks who are not in the same division have faced each other 8 times in a 5-year time period? Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes face each other all the time. They're not even in the same division. But every year, because they both win their division, not like Lamar, every year they both win their division, so they got to face each other. Every year, they run into each other in the playoffs. So every single season, even though these 2 teams should not see each other every year, they do. Every year. And so I've seen most of the time, twice a year. So I've seen these 2 quarterbacks so often. I just respect Josh Allen's game so much at this point, because when I watch him play, I'm like, that is a legitimately great quarterback. And if you gave me any quarterback to start a franchise with that wasn't Patrick Mahomes, I would choose Josh Allen. He's a problem. He creates throws out of nothing. He makes magic happen. He is incredible with his legs, but he's also a dynamic deep ball passer and everything passer. I don't know. He just looks like the 2nd best quarterback in the league to me.
Yeah, I've had him number 2 going back to last season in the NFL. I think for him, the question I have remaining this year, not only like any of the other AFC quarterbacks, essentially, can you get over the hump? I hope not. But also, when the moment is big, and I'll include this Sunday as the first real game where it'll feel like a playoff game for Buffalo. When they're in the red zone against Kansas City and it's a tight game and maybe things aren't going well and Josh Allen feels like he has to make a play, does he revert back to what has gotten him in trouble in the playoffs, in trouble at times in big time games, which is the red zone turnover? That's all. He'll put up crazy numbers. I mean, the 13-second game was incredible. We all know he played out of his mind and they still lost.
Played nearly perfect.
It wasn't his fault or anything like that, but it happened. I'm curious, just can the Chiefs get him in those spots where he feels like he has to make a play? And I think that's where the mistake comes. He hasn't had him this year, though.
I guess at this point, I'll probably stop wondering about it. The only question I ever had about Josh Allen was the same, essentially, question you have about Lamar Jackson is, can he run like this forever? Like, can it? And like, someone's like, well, he's built like an absolute tank. And you're like, yep. And I always point out like the one example, because I don't have a lot of examples of people built like Josh Allen who play quarterback.
Yeah.
The only example I have is Cam Newton, whose body, he was a lot like a running back. Cam Newton went until his body was like, dude, we're done here. You're not running like that anymore. The difference is,
I think Cam Newton was bigger than Josh Allen too.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I never got to see Cam Newton play in person. I've seen Josh Allen play in person a few times. The last time I saw Cam Newton, we were on Radio Row. in Vegas. All three of us were there, and he was just in normal street clothes, and you didn't realize like how massive a human being Cam Newton is.
And then you remember why in college he made everyone look like they were an elementary school kid. You're like,
just from the week.
Yeah, no wonder no one tackled you.
He was listed at 6'5", 245.
Cam was?
Yeah.
So what's Josh listed at?
It's a defensive end.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what they list Josh out. Either way, the point.
6'5", 237.
Okay. All right. So, yeah.
I mean,
you need to see him in person, I think, to really
appreciate.
To understand, I guess.
I think, to your point, though, it's just whether or not when he's in his late 30s, yeah, if that changed. There was a conversation in Buffalo, I don't know, a year ago, and then they kind of gave up on it, which was, hey, we gotta be careful. We're not going to run him as much. Then they realized, no, that's what makes him great, the ability for him to run the football as well.
Here's the one thing where I get hung up on Josh Allen versus Mahomes. And like if you said, hey, what is the gap? You think Mahomes is one and Josh Allen is two. Why, I'll still tell you, if somebody asked me in Buffalo, there's a significant gap between the two. Like a pretty good sizable gap between one and two. Is because Josh Allen is probably the most consistent quarterback in the entire league. Look up his stats. Look up his yards per year, his yards per attempt, his touchdowns per year, his interceptions per year. I mean, it is remarkably consistent. That consistency also comes with, he gets knocked out at the same time in the playoffs every single time. He, like those interceptions you say he makes, like he's never led the league in anything. He's never won MVP. He's never led the league in passing yardage. He's never led the league in passing touchdowns. He's never, you know what I'm saying? Like after a while, like, and this sounds like stupid, but like if you go look up someone's stats like George Brett's in like a baseball reference or pro football reference, the all-time greats, the guys who are legitimate, they have stats in which they've like, led the league. They were in their best years, they led the league. It feels like with Josh Allen, there is no floor, but there is no like secret ceiling that exists that he could still just like have in an individual year. Lamar hits his ceiling every once in a while. You're like, damn, Lamar. Okay, cool. I got it. You're just better than everybody this year. Are you going to play the best quarterback in the league this year, Lamar? Which is what he's doing again, on his way to maybe his third MVP trophy. I'm assuming he's the favorite. I haven't looked at the odds here lately, but I assume that's my one hang up on Josh Allen is there some like secret level you take your game to over a course of a season that just makes you an unstoppable force?
And I think this year, of course, Lamar's right in the mix for it. I think Josh Allen still has, especially this head to head. It sounds silly, but it's narrative stuff. If Josh Allen beats Mahomes head to head, that goes a long way for his MVP case this year. Sure. Right now, the three quarterbacks we're talking about are the three favorites. I mean, no surprise. Lamar's decent sized favorite right now, plus 100. Josh Allen's 4-1. Mahomes is 6-1. And there's a big drop off. After that, it's, you know, they're cut in half of the odds. 12-1 for Jalen Hurts, 14-1 for Jaden Daniels. So this thing can change in a hurry. It looks like a three horse race, but 2 weeks ago, everybody thought Jaden Daniels had a chance to win it. So it can change just like that. And I think Sunday's game actually could move the needle on that specific conversation. We already talked about the number one seed implications, but if you're, you know, focusing on the MVP market, which we'll talk more about tonight, that betting show is back tonight here on 96.5 The Fan. I'll be on from 6 to 7, and then Drew and Mac will be hosting After Hours tonight.
We will.
I think the last time we had Ross Tucker on, who's going to join us in 8 minutes, I had asked him, I was like, or 2 weeks ago, I was like, I think it's offensive if anyone decides to make Patrick Mahomes an underdog in a football game ever again.
Here we are.
Here we are, a 2.5-point underdog to the Buffalo Bills. Just as a quick little reminder, Patrick Mahomes is 11-3, straight up. Win an underdog in a football game. He is 12-1-1 against the spread if you feel like betting it. Andy Reid since 2016 is 16-1-1 against the spread. Why do they make the Chiefs underdogs? If Patrick Mahomes is on your team, you're not an underdog. You shouldn't be an underdog. It's stupid if you are. It's a mistake. And I get it. It's in Buffalo. They're a really good football team.
They're 2-1 in the regular season recently against Kansas City.
Josh Allen is 3-1 all time against Patrick Mahomes in the regular. Whatever you want to give me in this stuff, it's stupid. If you make them an underdog, they're going to win.
Take advantage of it then. Take advantage of what looks like a mistake again. Second time this year they've been an underdog. The first time against the Niners, they ended up winning outright by 10 points. I think they're going to win outright on Sunday. If not, this is we'll talk about more tonight, but another great teaser opportunity. Tease the Chiefs up six.
Take it up to a touchdown or something?
All of a sudden, the Chiefs are 7.5-point dogs. You pick another game. Maybe you tease the Texans down to just 1-point favorites at Dallas, something like that. That would be like the fourth straight week in a row I have teased the Chiefs, and they've hit since that Raiders game, three straight teasers in a row. And if you didn't tease it, you would have lost your bet.
This doesn't feel like a loss for me. I bet the 49ers last time because, again, if Patrick Mahomes, like from a betting perspective, if Patrick Mahomes is an underdog, I'm going to bet it. There are like four certainties in my world where when they're an underdog, I'm betting it. One is Kansas, funny enough, because you're in your Jayhawk city. One is if Kansas is an underdog in the second half at Allen Fieldhouse, okay, here's my money. And I'm going to go ahead and put it on Kansas. And you can do whatever you want, bookmaker, in the live betting odds. I'm going to go ahead and take Kansas at home when they're an underdog in the second half. There better be like 2 minutes left and they're down 15 if you think I'm taking the other side. No chance. If Mahomes is an underdog in a football game, I'm betting them. That's just reality at this point for me.
Should be an automatic fire. I'm with you.
It's almost the same thing as if they're down at halftime and they're plus money on the money line, take them on
that's
the money
another,
line.
That's another. I was so depressed. They got to plus money in the Broncos game, and I live in Missouri, and you can't lie bet anymore. And I was like, I just want to. And I didn't want to be that guy. I briefly thought, well, I could text Alex, and he probably placed the bet for me. I was like, I don't want to text Alex in the middle of a Sunday to make the. And he was on the Missouri side. He was at the game.
Couldn't done it for
But
you.
It's just like, I didn't want
next
to text.
Next football season, live betting.
I didn't want to text some person who lives. Text Drew, be like, hey, Drew, I'd like to
Can
bet.
Can you place this for me?
And by the time I text Drew, he agrees to do it.
The line
he
changes.
Places the bet. Yeah. The Chiefs had gone down and scored a touchdown anyway, and I've wasted my time. Live betting sometimes needs to be bet live, like immediately. Not like you're going to text your buddy for 45 minutes trying to figure out the best line or the best odds or if they got money in their account or anything else in between. I just wanted to bet it. That's all.
Up next, we're going to chat with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Want to ask him about what he saw from Wanya Morris and is there hope long term for King?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting started here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Here in 15 minutes, we'll talk more about the Steelers and a team that's not discussed a whole lot when we look at the AFC number one seed conversation. Should we? How do we view them? We'll get to that in a little bit. And maybe our next guest also has some thoughts on Pittsburgh. And that, of course, is Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. And our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And this is great timing to have you on, Ross, because you played NFL. Of course, you played offensive line, I should say, in the NFL. And the story this week in Kansas City is all about what's going on at left tackle. And in particular, Wanya Morris, who got hurt, came back in. The rookie, Kingsley Suamataia, has been rough, to say the least. So what have you seen, if you had a chance to watch that game against Denver at all, from Wanya in particular, who I think Chiefs fans are appreciating more and more based off of the backup that came in?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to describe it. I think Wanya is okay. I think Kingsley is not. And that's kind of the difference, right? I mean, Wanya is good enough that the Chiefs can probably get by and keep winning the way they have been. I think Kingsley is very likely to cost them a game at this point and maybe a critical game. I guess, what's the update on Wanya's injury?
I mean, he got back in that game yesterday, but here's the secret behind the way the Chiefs handle media. I won't know how Wanya is until Andy Reid gives an update today in about an hour, Ross. So we'll get an idea of whether or not he's on the practice field probably inside of an hour. If he practices, he'll be okay. The real question is, do they baby it because they don't want to see Kingsley on the field?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, right? Because, I mean, it's rare for a guy to come back in a game and or finish a game and not play the next week. It happens sometimes, you know, where a guy can like suck it up and play the rest of the game, and then they do some type of imaging, or after the game they're like, oh wow, this is a worse injury than we realized. I can't believe that guy was able to suck it up and play through that. You know, that happens every once in a while. But usually if a guy, A, comes back in a game, B, finishes a game, he's usually able to play in the next game. I do think, you know, obviously this is the biggest game of the NFL regular season so far, and probably will end up being the case because, you know, I think the teams right now in the AFC look better, the Bills and Chiefs, than anybody in the NFC, although the Eagles are kind of coming now. And you know, this game will go a long – like, if the Chiefs win this game, they're going to have the number one seed.
Yep.
It's they just are. So there is a lot of importance on it from that perspective to play Wanye to make sure they win the game. But also, you know, they got to make sure – you know, they're in a good situation, actually. It really depends on the injury, but I was going to say they want to let that thing heal if it's something that he needs to give some time to. But the weird thing is, you know, they might have like multiple weeks at the end of the year, but that's a long way away right now. It's like 2 months away.
I just think they just start doing like mini. If they win this game, give Travis the day off against the Panthers, you know? Wanye can have that day off too. Kingsley can get some work in that day too, Ross.
You know what's so funny that you said that? It's so funny that you said that because before that, like basically NFL load management, before the season, I have a fantasy podcast. I have a bunch of podcasts, but in particular, the Fantasy Feast podcast, my co-host was not high on Travis Kelce for fantasy football at all because he said that he thought Travis was going to be a smart time player during the regular season. It basically a play on words from part-time player,
mm-hmm.
but he called him a smart time player, meaning that he really thought the Chiefs would manage Travis's snaps and playing time to make sure he was 100% for January like he was last year, which is why a big reason why they won the Super Bowl, which he definitely wasn't last year during the regular season. I mean, you guys have to correct me if I'm wrong, but just watching the games, it doesn't seem like that's been the case
opposite.
At all.
Right? Yeah. He's had like 30 catches the last
the ball 20 times.
Yeah, 16 targets a week or so ago. So that definitely hasn't been the case whatsoever. As we're talking with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Back to the offensive line just for a second. A lot of the conversation here about Donovan Smith, who played left tackle in Kansas City a year ago. He still hasn't been signed by anybody. He's out on the street. How difficult or problematic would it be if later on in the season or a week from now they bring him in, he's on the practice squad for a couple weeks and at some point would have to play? How easily do you think a Donovan Smith could be ready if a Wanye Morris got hurt and they realize they can't start the rookie?
Pretty easily, pretty quickly, depending on what he's been doing. I mean, the fact that he hasn't retired would make me think that he probably has been staying in shape and waiting for an opportunity like this, but you also don't know. I mean, it's November. There are guys that, you know, Ndamukong Suh got to a point where he did it like 3 years in a row, where he just wouldn't go to training camp. He wouldn't even play the first like half of the year. He would wait to see which teams actually had a chance to do something, and then he would sign with one of them and be fresh for the second half of the year in the playoffs. That might be the case with Donovan. I don't know him that well. Watching him at times in college, even for the Chiefs, he doesn't strike me as the always ready, working out every day kind of guy. I've never gotten that. That said, they could very easily. In fact, I don't know that he would do it. I mean, if he would do this, he probably already would be signed somewhere. But yeah, I think it's probably time pretty soon to call him back, get him on the practice squad, and then have him if he's willing to do that. You know, they might have to give him some decent coin to do that. Because if he's willing to be on a practice squad, trust me, there's a ton of teams that would already want him on the practice squad. I mean, he probably doesn't want to play unless someone pays him per week what he thinks he's worth.
Ross, I'd like to talk other things in the NFL with you as well. It's just announced that the Colts are going to go back to Anthony Richardson as their starting quarterback after the Joe Flacco stuff went so poorly. Sometimes it's like victim of like recency bias. So I guess I'll take your opinion. You get to catch a lot of different games in the NFL. I feel like the last 18 months in the NFL is a how-to book for dummies on how to not handle young quarterbacks. Is that what feels like is happening in the league between Caleb Williams and like the setup they've got going on there and not getting rid of Eberflus before or Anthony Richardson now or anyone else in between? It feels like there's been a lot of mishandling of young quarterbacks.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, okay? Let's start with Caleb Williams. What's your issue with what the Bears have done there?
For the third straight time, they have drafted a young quarterback, Trubisky, Justin Fields, and that kept the old coach who stunk, let him start, and then fired, and then made the young quarterback start with a fresh guy. By the time this season's done, Eberflus won't be his coach, and he'll be under completely different offensive management. They did the talent thing around him, which I like. Hey, put a bunch of people around him. I hate the idea that they stuck with Eberflus.
Got it. So first of all, Eberflus. just so we know. That's okay. You don't work
That's my
in
bad.
Chicago radio. You work in Kansas City radio. That's fine. I guess I can see that. What I would tell you is last year he took over as the DC, and for the second half of the year, the defense was very, very good.
Yeah.
And actually, they've been very good this year with him calling the defense. So I can see why the Bears did not want to move on from Eberflus. They won a bunch of games at the end of last year. The defense played so well. I think they wanted Caleb Williams to go to a team with a good defense. He absolutely has. They didn't want to lose that part of it. But they said, you got to get a new OC. So he did. He got Waldron, who 2 years ago, everybody was giving all of the credit to for Geno Smith having that incredible year. Right. So nobody, when he hired Waldron, or not many people, like panned it. They understood it because of what he had done with Geno. Your point's well taken. I guess I just think sometimes the players have to take some accountability, right? Like,
sure.
Trubisky has had other opportunities now. Fields has had other opportunities now with other organizations, and they've shown that they're just not that good. And maybe that's the case with Caleb Williams. Maybe not. We'll see. In terms of the Anthony Richardson thing, you know, they were 4-3, and they had just lost a very, very winnable game that he came out of, which none of us have ever heard of in our entire lives. A quarterback tapping out of a game like
that. Weird.
We've never heard of that. Late third quarter, very winnable game, and he lost a lot of respect from the guys in the locker room for doing that. He was also putting up some of the most hilarious stat lines we've ever seen and playing atrocious. And so I think Shane Steichen thought, how am I going to like go into this locker room and tell the guys that this kid's starting again, I'm not giving them the best chance to win. He didn't think he was. And so he wanted to go with Flacco. Where I think he's making a mistake is I think he's – I would have stuck with Flacco for one more week. It wouldn't have just been a two-week thing for me with Flacco, because they went against the Vikings on the road, very good defense, and the Bills. And he did some really good things against the Bills. He also had a couple turnovers. I would have given Flacco – The Colts are still very much in the playoff race.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given Flacco one more game against the Jets this Sunday.
Last one for you, Ross. What about Pittsburgh? Because it feels different than a couple years ago when they had that, what was it, like a 10-0, 11-0 start, and nobody believed in them. And they're like, okay, they're not real. And then everybody was kind of proven correct. This go around, I don't know if I believe they can go to a Super Bowl, but I certainly don't think they're, you know, this fake, phony team. Their schedule just gets way tougher here down the stretch.
Way, way tougher. which is going to be a problem. And here, it's so funny because, you know, I was on with the guys in Buffalo. I go on with you guys 10:30 Central every Wednesday. I go on with the guys in Buffalo 5 o'clock Eastern every Tuesday. They asked me about the Steelers, too. I don't know if you guys are comparing notes, but this is like...
We're all just curious if we should take them serious.
No, that's fair. And what I would say is I would take them serious in any one-game scenario.
There you go, yeah.
I would not take them serious to go to the Super Bowl and or win it. And the reason why I say that is because they're going to have to win 3 playoff games at least, just to get to the Super Bowl. And in at least 2 of those, maybe even all 3, they're going to have to defeat an MVP-level quarterback, right? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Russell Wilson's done some positive things. Russell Wilson has helped that team. Russell Wilson's playing pretty well. He's not nearly on the level of those other 3 guys. That's really the problem for any of the other teams in the AFC. Now, I think the Chargers, they feel like Herbert's kind of getting there. We know Burrow can play at that level. The reality is, I don't see a team going to the Super Bowl from really either conference, but especially the AFC, without having a quarterback playing an MVP-like level, because you have to win 3 games unless you get the number 1 seed. And even if you just have to win 2 games, then you're still playing against Lamar, Josh Allen, or Mahomes in those 2 games. And do I think you're going to win those games late against them? No, maybe 1, but not 2 or 3 or 4.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. Where are you at this weekend? You got a college game?
Oh, no. I got an awesome weekend. Tomorrow night, I'm in the radio booth for Westwood One with Ian Eagle for Commanders Eagles.
Nice. That's a great game.
The Westwood broadcast or not. But that Commanders-Eagles game is going to be huge. And then I'll fly right to Miami first thing Friday morning. I got the Raiders at the Dolphins for CBS on Sunday, which I'm looking forward to. The Dolphins actually looked pretty darn good Monday night. So I'm curious. I think I saw somewhere where they have a 25% chance to make the playoffs. I have no idea what the math is on that, but I'm looking forward to see if they can kind of go on a run here.
Not bad at all. You get to stay in your backyard for football tomorrow night, and then you get to go down to South Beach. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
There you go. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He joins us each and every Wednesday here on Cody and Gold, and he's presented by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. It is a good Thursday night football game tomorrow. We'll talk maybe about that when we get there at some point tomorrow afternoon. But that's a good Thursday nighter, man. Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts.
The NFL slate is 3 awesome games, and everything else is garbage. This is the latest in the season that 3 7-win teams have all faced off in 3 matchups. So, like, this is the latest in the season we've seen, like, 3 teams all with at least 7 wins all battling. All the other games stink as a result of that, because you've got 6 teams with 7 or more wins facing off against each other.
We asked him about Pittsburgh there. We were going to talk about Pittsburgh here anyway. That's why we asked the question. And I think how he described it is 100, honestly, I think is completely right, which is, like, we all think they're real in terms of they're not fake like they were a couple years ago.
Like, they could beat Kansas City in a month.
But what, as he said, like, 1 game. But are they really going to win in wild card weekend and then divisional round weekend and then AFC title game weekend with Russell Wilson? I don't think so. But with that defense and with what they got going with Russell Wilson and Pickens enough, they absolutely can win a playoff game and give you fits in a playoff game. But we're going to learn a ton more about, like, oh, can they win consecutive games with their schedule? We already went through it. I mean, it is brutal. They're going to be underdogs and probably 4 of the 6, I think I said, or something like that.
Even though they're a 7-2 football team, which really does say something. But also, I'm close. I'll admit, I am close to buying into the Steelers as being an actual threat in the AFC. Mostly because they play, and we said this like week 2, play a lot like the Chiefs. It is elite level defense. They have an elite level defensive player. They have good weapons on offense. Especially George Pickens might be one of the 10 most talented wide receivers in the league.
He's playing great right now.
He's playing great. Once they get him engaged and activated.
That's the key. Yeah.
Well, look, when they're winning, he's engaged. Uh-huh. So, like, he's interested in playing right now, which means he's going to do the job at the level he's doing it. He makes more circus catches than anyone else in the league. They have one of the best coaches in the league. My whole hang up is The only thing that's stopping me from buying in is how big of a gap do I think this version of Russell Wilson is? If you would get, if this was prime Russell Wilson, like the Russell Wilson I thought Denver was getting in making for the trade, and I hadn't watched him fail and stink, I'm probably buying in.
Yeah, 2019 Russell Wilson or something?
I'm probably buying in. Yeah. I'm probably buying in to everything the Steelers are doing. I'm like, damn, to a Super Bowl winner, a guy who's been to a couple, he's played through these postseasons, he's gotten some big ones. With Tomlin and the Steelers, I'd probably buy in.
But
because I watched Russell Wilson just be stink.
Does that for two years?
I can't yet.
So does that make for the reason you said, Cody, that they're very similar in style of play to the Chiefs? Does that make them maybe? Does that make you a little bit more nervous, maybe even than maybe the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens because of the style of playing?
No.
You know the game is going to be ugly.
It is going to be ugly.
You know it's going to be that way.
It is going to be ugly, but as Ross said as well, at some point
it'll be the fourth quarter, and you, who are their quarterbacks?
You have to look at. I mean, I'm not saying there's not ever outliers. It does. There's been a few. It does happen. But in the AFC, when I have Mahomes, Allen, and let's say even if your guy somehow gets in the playoffs, Drew, and it's Burrow, those quarterbacks are miles ahead of Russell Wilson. And then as Russ said, on the NFC side even, you know, whoever you think is right now playing the best football. I mean, Jalen Hurts is starting to play a lot better football now, too. So
yeah.
Jalen Hurts or a Brock Purdy. You start to look at Jared Goff. I know the name, but I understand he threw five picks the other night, but he'd been playing great until then. Like, there's a gap between that guy and I don't know who the seventh seed would be right now in the NFC.
It's actually a pretty deep conference. Nobody's all that bad.
It might be an NFC North team because
like the Bucks or something.
Bucks would be the division winner though. Wild card. Sorry. Yeah. Falcons are division winner. So yeah, maybe it is the Bucks.
Right now,
even then, like that's a little more crowded. Like the names there don't stand out as much as Mahomes, Lamar and Allen, but
what would it take for you to be, is it them going through this stretch? Say they
go through this stretch. Well, 4-2, whatever. I mean,
say they end up 11-6 and they win the division, or they go 12-5.
They go like 13-4.
11-win team, no.
Based on their schedule, they get to like 13 wins. No way to ignore them anymore. You can't ignore them.
If they win
anymore.
The AFC North, do you buy them, regardless of the record?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because that's a difficult division to win. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson playing better than any quarterback in the league at the current level of play. This is not a who's
It's crazy to think that they haven't even played a division game yet. I don't know if there's anybody else in that boat,
loaded.
But they're the only team that hasn't played a division game.
It doesn't make any sense.
Two against the Browns, two against the Ravens, two against the Bengals. It's just, yeah. And then by the way, the Eagles are mixed in there too. So it's just, it's a crazy stretch coming up for Pittsburgh. They could either fall off in a big way, or we could be sitting here in a month and be like, wow, you know what? They're way more impressive than we thought. I still think the QB gap is, as Ross said, is like they can win a game or two. Are they winning three straight games in the playoffs? I just don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. Well, I mean, again, time will tell. They have a chance to prove us all wrong. I'm close to buying what they're selling, but I'm just not there yet. You are going to be in a Hallmark movie coming up in 2 weeks.
November 30th,
17 days. You will make your film debut. You and I both got an invite yesterday.
We did.
An invite to a special screening down at the Sheraton for the Hallmark Christmas movie in which you can bring a plus one.
Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
They claim there will be a red carpet and interview opportunities. I guess the question I have is, you and I received the same invite despite the fact I am not in the movie.
Yeah, they sent it out to media.
You're not going to try to get on the red carpet, are you? Because you're not invited.
I think
invited.
You should.
He's not invited.
I think you should.
It's not for him. The red carpet's for real actors.
Yeah, but you know, I think the red carpet is in the lobby. I actually think everybody that's going to the event gets to walk on the red carpet. I don't think this is like the premiere. I think that's going on. This is a screening. I don't think this is not the premiere. I think that's taking place in like New York or LA this week or something. I thought I could be wrong. I thought they had their whole press junket thing for Hallmark with all their Christmas movies or whatever.
So you think the red carpet's for anyone who comes to this screening?
If you're invited, I mean, you have to obviously be invited to the party. I think it's everybody basically can walk on the red carpet, and then there's a reception before, and then the screening is at like 7 o'clock, the same time it'll be available for everybody to watch on Hallmark Channel. So I'm planning on going.
Are you gonna attend?
I'm going full Oscars, man. I'm going full Oscars.
So you're wearing a suit?
Absolutely.
You're gonna say I'm wearing Oscar de la Renta?
Well,
as
I mean,
you
I will not probably be that because it's definitely nothing like that. But I'm gonna go. I think the exact dress code phrasing they put on the invite was game day glam. That was the invite.
I don't even know what that means. I just get something made by Kristen Juszczyk.
I take this as for me, for a guy, I take it as suit with a little bit of red, like red in some form, not the suit being red necessarily, but like I'm probably going suit, red tie. I might wear the bright red Mahomes shoes. I don't know. Something like that is what I'm going with.
Mm. Yeah. So you're going.
Yeah, I'm going full Oscars, you know?
So if you're going full Oscars, then is your mom?
I'm going to invite her. I get a plus one. Absolutely.
Dude, I got to be honest with you. Your mom's a nice lady.
I'm not married. I don't know if you've known this or not.
No, I get it.
I don't know if you know. I'm not married, so it's, I don't have the automatic.
Your mom's a great woman, by all accounts. seems like a lovely person.
Have you met her?
This is...
Ever?
I'm not... Yeah, I have.
Have you?
This is... Twice. This is the single greatest first date opportunity of your life.
No, disagree.
First date?
Not
dude,
for a first... Not for, no not for a first
kidding?
Date.
No
not
way.
A first date.
This is the single most no unique date you can take someone on.
No, a premiere
where you dress up, look
first
good.
First date, though?
The back of your head might show up in the movie. Dude.
Hang on.
Just take an opportunity. It cost it one date. Take a swing. A girl you really like. Find the one you like the most on the apps. Some of you like. It doesn't matter. This is, and I get it. You'll be like, why first date? Because you're taking one big swing. You're taking a chance that maybe she's not. Who cares? But this is a fantastic date situation.
That means you better
situation.
Make the most out of it. Is what Cody's saying.
I think he should take a date. Text line. Let us know.
Here's my. Here's where I push back on it for the first date. If I was already dating somebody, of course. Like,
well,
I had already been talking to somebody, it's a no brainer. I would take them. It's an obvious thing. If I was in a long term relationship, I would take them. It's very easy. You're obviously taking your wife. No kidding. Like, I mean, it's very, 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 very easy to do this. The first date problem I would have is it's a cool event to take somebody to. No question. But there's an hour reception, and then you're sitting in a quiet theater. This, to me, is
but
not
you get
much.
The hour.
You get the hour, but after that, then you're just like, well, I would never go on a first date to a movie because
man,
you're not talking for
minutes.
2 hours, and you know what I mean. That's the only problem. But I understand. Trust me, it crossed my mind, but I'm not currently talking to someone.
Okay, but
people.
I want you to think about the
that's
long.
That's the difference. Like, what am I going to hop on Bumble or Tinder
yes.
and say,
yes.
who wants to go to the Hallmark movie with
yes.
me?
Because again, hear me out. If this works out, if this ends up being the girl, which look, low odds, I get it. I understand. Low odds that she's the one. If she is, your How We Met story is fantastic.
At a Hallmark movie
at
screening.
At a Hallmark movie that you're in? Come on, man.
Hang on.
You are yourself, then a Hallmark movie.
I hear you.
Is it really meeting them, Cody, there? Or is it, we're on the app.
The first time I ever meet them in person is on the red carpet?
Amazing. Amazing.
Someone says, Gold, this is where you really swing and get out of your league with something like this. I'm not even totally disagreeing with you. It crossed my mind, Cody. If I was already talking to somebody, that's a no-brainer. Otherwise, I'm going full Oscars, just like Bradley Cooper brought his mom to the Oscars a couple years ago. Yeah. Going same thing. You know?
Okay.
Someone said, think of the pleasure, Alex.
Thanks, bro. That was still...
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was worse than Drew's. I didn't...
That was way worse. Cody, you won up to me.
Yeah.
We're way late for a break. We'll get back to this, I'm sure. We'll get back to this topic a little bit later on in the day. You guys can keep texting it. Up next, though, let's talk about one player that maybe you're a little concerned could hit that wall. We'll explain what it is next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.